Thanks to be here. Thanks for missing your lunch. And let me rant about Kotlin. I'm Nicolas Frankel. I've been a developer for like now more than 20 years. Perhaps I'm not a developer anymore. I'm a developer advocate, but I still see myself as a developer. I love developing. Right now I work on the Apache API 6 gateway. It has nothing to do with Java. It's just an infrastructure component. But since they allow me to be here, here is the slide. Anyway, why am I talking about Kotlin in a Java room? Well, they didn't want me to talk about Kotlin in the Kotlin room, so that might be one of the reasons. And also, I've mentioned I have like 2 decades of coding experience, and those 2 decades were spent in Java. So I started with Java 1.3, 1.4, 1.3 perhaps. And well, there were like big wins and small losses, and I tried Scala, and I didn't like it at all. I still have the certificate saying, hey, you are like Scala certified. I didn't like it for multiple reasons. Then I went to a couple of conferences. I had a friend, and she made also like talks about Kotlin. And I said, we don't need Kotlin. We have Java. It's enough. Then I wanted to teach myself Android development. And Android development at the time was only in Java, and the API was super low level. And I say, no, I cannot write such like code that it brings me back 15 years ago when I was writing Java on the server side. And I looked for solutions, and I found Kotlin. And I thought, wow, that's cool. And I stopped learning Android, and now I write Kotlin on the back end. So just a disclaimer. If Java is the best language in the world for you, just leave the room. I'm not trying to bash Java, but depending on your culture, I'm pretty straightforward. You might feel offended. So better leave now. It's up to you. OK, let's start slow. Immutable references. I'm telling you, hey, it's better in Kotlin. And you can tell me, hey, Java has it, right? Immutable references. OK, let's try to check how it works. Immutable references in Java. Oh, fun stuff. Immutable references in Java. So here, this is my immutable reference class. So I have to put final here. I have to put final here. And I have to put final here. Now I have immutable references. Who puts final everywhere? Couple of people. No, really. We had this idea 15 years ago, and then we decided, no, it just makes this, like, the reading so much harder. So perhaps not. Even worse, like if you don't put final on the parameter, you can actually reallocate stuff, which I believe is one of the worst things you can do, like really, really, really bad. So I'm not saying that Java doesn't have it, but I'm saying that in Kotlin, it's from the beginning, you need to decide whether it's a val, which means it cannot be reassigned, or it's a var, which means it can be reassigned. If you're using IntelliJ, I don't know about Eclipse or NetBeans. The good thing is that if I say it's a var, so it can be reassigned, it tells me, hey, like, there is something fishy. It's not an error per se, but at least it's visually like pleasing. And of course, by default, yeah, for who's who don't know, any is the equivalent of object. So it's not very important. I could write object. By default, you cannot reassign parameters. Any language that allows you to reassign parameters should be taken with like utmost caution. It's actually not a great design idea. So of course, Java was designed a long time ago, doesn't have it, but Kotlin takes the lesson. And if you think that val and var are coming from Scala because you are a Scala fanboy, that's completely true. Kotlin has stolen every good idea. So don't pretend otherwise. That's fine. OK. Second, immutable classes. Well, that's fine. Now we have Java records. We've got them. That's fine. Let's continue. Null safety. Null safety in Java is not that fun, right? How many ways do you have to implement null safeties in Java?
That's a good thing.
Diversity is a good thing because we work in IT. And if you want to really have fun, you might check like nullable, 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 non null, non null. Oh, not null. Non null, non null. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry?
Not capitalized under our first name.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure it's an error. I think I just copy-pasted, so I'm not sure. That's really fun stuff. And of course, they won't work with one another. So you need to have the preprocessor. You need to have the compile-time processor, and you need to choose which library you will be using. And then you hope that somehow it will work. Good. In Kotlin, what do we have? Well, it's baked into language. So basically here, I was too lazy to write it in Java. But basically, if you write something in Kotlin, you have additional types. So basically, for every normal type, this is a non-nullable type. And this says it's a nullable type. It means that if you are calling something on a non-nullable type, you can call whatever you want. Whatever. And if you call something on a nullable type, Kotlin will say, oh, it was saying something and now it doesn't say it. Yes, because plus is smart. Plus knows how to operate on nullable types. But let's do something that it's not safe. Which is, it's also very smart. The library is too smart for me. Reversed? Finally, thanks. And it tells you, hey, you know, this might be nullable, so please don't call it like this. Because there is a chance you might encounter a null pointer at runtime. And yeah, you should take care. And well, afterwards, it's quite easy. You can do this stuff. I mean, if you have been doing Groovy, or I think Scala does it too. But the compiler tells you, you should be careful about this. So, and it's baked into the language. So for every type, there are two real types, one that might be nullable, the other might not be nullable. The good thing with, I will show you afterwards, extension function, you can write extension function that work on nullable type, which is really, really crazy. Good. So second stuff, better. The utils classes. Who has not written a single unit utils classes in their life? Nobody. So even people younger than 30 have written them. In general, there might be a divide because all the developers, they have written them. The younger ones, they are smart enough to use the library. But the thing is, at our age, there was no library. So basically, we say that Java is an object-oriented language, and then we put everything in a class. We put static methods in a class, and we pretend that it's object-oriented. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Well, let's not pretend it's object-oriented. If it's no object, a static class, a class with static methods, is not object-oriented. So here, I have created my amazing string utils class. And of course, I need to remember, because the users of my class, they might instantiate it. So I will just remove the constructor, make it private, again, very object-oriented. And then I create these capitalize stuff, and I do whatever I want. And then I can call the capitalize method. Good. Scala and Kotlin have, I think, center stuff. let's not pretend we can, we are an object-oriented language. We can just add methods and states, but mostly methods, on existing classes. That's crazy. Yeah. Of course, at the bytecode level, it boils down to a static method. That's not the problem. The problem is the user experience, is the developer experience. We can see now that we are really doing here, we actually are doing object-oriented development. So through this functional stuff, because here we create a function that is at the root level, we are able to write better object-oriented code, which is mind-blowing. Even better, as I mentioned, we can say, hey, this only applies, so here we can have var f of type string might be null, so this is a nullable type, and here we cannot say f dot capitalize, because it's null, right? It's a nullable type. Here it only applies to real strings. But we can do something like this. We can say, hey, it might be a nullable type, and we can check if this equals null, then we return the default, which might be an empty string. Yeah, I see like, what the hell? And in the end, that's a static method, but how you call it is like object-oriented, which in my opinion makes like Kotlin much more object-oriented than Java will ever be. Well, will ever be, no, I'm not sure. Let's see what we have in the future. So that's already good stuff. And then, oof, reified generics, right? Who has been bitten by the lack of reified generics already? Yeah. So I have a collection of thingy and a collection of foo, and well, at runtime you have nothing. So here, the trick when you do Java is to pass the class. So here is taken from Spring. When you get a bean, you say, hey, I want a bean of class whatever, and then you will get the whatever. Okay? How can we do it in Kotlin? Kotlin has this reified T. So when you call a get bean, you can pass the type that you want, and it will get you that it's a string. If we are a bit like tricky, we can do this, and it's a list of string. And if you tell it, because it's all about compiling, because in the end, of course, the bytecode is still the same. The bytecode must be compatible with Java bytecode. There is no reified generic in the bytecode. So it's just about compiling. And here we can say, either we set it here in the signature when we call it, or we tell that type that S is of type string, and we will get a string. And I think that's pretty amazing. The only thing that we need to do is do this. We need to tell it's reified. We need to tell it's reified, and for reified, you need to have inline. Why? Because as I mentioned, there is no trick. At compile time, it will actually replace the code. It won't be a call, it will be just copy-pasted. And so it knows which type you are. And in the end, so I still have a bit of time, we can do like really, really fun stuff. Fun stuff. Okay, I will create a function beans, and for the moment, I will return any. Okay, so some syntactic sugar, I don't think it's really important. I don't think it makes me want to use Kotlin. It's just easier to use it. Like, either you return the type like this, or here any idiot can understand it returns any. So the Kotlin compiler is not an idiot, but the Java compiler is. On one-liner, it doesn't make any sense to specify the type explicitly every time, but still the Java compiler requires you to do it. Makes no sense. Okay.
But you're still allowed to. You can still...
Sure, sure. If for whatever reason you want to specify what it is, because it might be complex, but then if it's complex, perhaps it doesn't belong to one-liner, then you can still are allowed to. Especially if you return a concrete implementation and you want your signature to be an interface. That's perfect. Okay. And now I will have a class which I will call, let's say, beans DSL. Okay, there I want this to return beans DSL. Okay. So now I can write something like this. I can have a main function, main, primex static void main, okay. And I can call the beans function. Great, nothing mind-blowing. Now what I can do is I want to write something like this. Okay, so I want to write something like this. I will just use the compiler. Okay, so I create here, I accept a parameter that takes nothing and returns unit. Here, what I can do is normally I would write something like this, but in Kotlin, if the last argument is a lambda, you can move it outside the parentheses. So that's what I did before. And then here, if there is no arguments and there is a lambda, I can remove the parentheses. Good. Now I can add a bean method inside. And I can say that I can actually call the bean method on the bean DSL. So here I can do something like this. And what is it telling me? Unresolved method beans. So I still have an issue. Little trick. Yeah. Sorry, that's live coding completely. I thought I would be less fast. Okay. And now we can say that the bean method is generic, right? So we can say it accepts a type T, and I don't remember how it's written, so I will be doing my stupid stuff. Inline function, so here inline fun, reify T, here, and it returns a T. And if you continue like this, you can have this kind of stuff. So here, this is the Spring Boot Kotlin DSL. So you say this will create beans. Each bean you can define either through a lambda or directly. And through the reified stuff, here you see the product handler actually requires two dependencies. And at compile time, it knows that it requires, I don't know, a foo and a bar. So because those ref methods are reified through generics, it knows it needs to call the ref method calling getting a foo and a bar, and it will inject them. So here you have the magic at compile time, and at runtime it's the usual Spring Boot stuff. And I believe it makes my code much easier to read. Of course, you need to understand the trick. It's like every time, you need to be very explicit in the beginning because you lack a lot of context. When you have the context, then it makes your stuff much, much easier. And that's all. I don't want to bore you with more details. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Mastodon because, well, you don't know what will happen to Twitter. And though the talk was not about Apache API 6, you can check Apache API 6, which makes my job so much easier. And I can come back here to talk about unrelated stuff. Is there any time for questions?
There is.
There is. Thanks.